Welcome back to The Deep Dive. You know, one of the things I love about this show is getting to explore the ideas you send our way. And today's deep dive is no exception. We're taking a look at a paper, a fascinating paper, that proposes a whole new way of trading in financial markets. You know, stocks, bonds, the whole shebang.
Sounds ambitious.
Oh, it is. It's called, get this, flow trading. And honestly, it might just change how we think about, well, the stock market in general. I mean, have you ever felt like the market is kind of, I don't know, rigged against everyday investors like us? Like the big players, you know, the ones with their fancy algorithms, always have an edge.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Well, flow trading, that's what this paper's all about, aims to solve that very problem.
It's really interesting you bring up that feeling of, well, unfairness, because that's exactly what this research paper is trying to tackle, you know, head on. It points out some serious flaws in how stock exchanges work right now, things that, you know, create an uneven playing field.
Yeah, absolutely. I noticed in the paper they talk about latency arbitrage. Can you break that down for us? Explain it in a way that, well, someone who's not a Wall Street hotshot would understand.
Sure. So imagine you're trying to buy, let's say, concert tickets online, but someone else, someone with a crazy fast internet connection, scoops up all the tickets before you can even click buy. That's kind of what latency arbitrage is like, but in the stock market. Some traders have these super fast computers and connections, and they can exploit tiny, tiny delays in information just to get ahead of everyone else.
So it's like they're getting a sneak peek at the concert lineup before anyone else. I mean, that doesn't seem very fair.
It's not. It can really distort prices, and it makes it harder for regular investors to get, well, a fair deal. And it's not just about speed either. This research also points out some problems with something called tick size constraints. That's the minimum price increment that a stock can move. And these constraints can make trading feel really clunky, you know? It prevents prices from truly reflecting their real value.
Okay, I'm starting to see the problem. It's like trying to, I don't know, pay for something, but you only have dollar bills. You can't really be that precise, right?
Exactly, you got it. And on top of all that, the way our current exchanges work makes it incredibly hard to trade portfolios, you know, those baskets of assets.
Right.
Like, say you wanted to instantly rebalance your portfolio, say from 60% stocks and 40% bonds to a 50-50 split. Well, good luck trying to do that efficiently on today's exchanges. It's practically impossible.
So is the paper saying that our system is just, well, a bit outdated, kind of like running, you know, a modern economy on dial-up internet?
No, that's a perfect analogy. You hit the nail on the head. That's where this whole flow trading thing comes in. It's like a complete redesign of how we think about stock exchanges. So instead of that, you know, constant back and forth of orders, flow trading proposes these frequent batch auctions.
Okay, help me picture that. What would a batch auction look like in the stock market? I'm having trouble visualizing it.
Okay, so picture a well-organized auction. But instead of people, you know, shouting out bids, everyone submits their orders electronically, but it's for a very specific time period, let's say every second. Then the system calculates the prices and matches buyers and sellers all at once. Bam.
So it's like everyone gets a chance to kind of submit their bids, and then boom, the gavel comes down at the end of each second.
You got it. And that whole need for super fast connections, well, it vanishes. Everyone gets an equal chance no matter what kind of technology they have. It brings fairness back into the equation.
Okay, I like where this is going. But I have to ask, doesn't that, you know, you just want to, you know, test the waters?
Oh, absolutely. And flow trading has thought of that. It introduces this concept of continuous scaled limit orders. So basically, instead of saying buy, you know, 100 shares at $50, you can express your demand as a slope. So you could say, I'll buy 10 shares at $50, then 20 more at $49.50, and so on. It's a lot like a dimmer switch, right? You can adjust how much you buy or sell depending on the price.
So it's more nuanced, less all or nothing.
Exactly.
I like that. But, you know, we were talking about portfolios before. How does this whole flow trading thing make those baskets of assets easier to trade?
Well, that's one of the most innovative parts of flow trading, for sure. It allows for what they call direct portfolio trading. You can actually place an order for any combination of assets with specific weights you choose. You could say, hey, I want 60% of my portfolio in stocks and 40% in bonds, and the system will figure out how to make it happen.
Hold on. So instead of buying each stock and bond separately, I could just trade my whole investment strategy in one go. That's wild.
Yeah, that's the idea. It opens up so many possibilities for managing risk and using more sophisticated strategies. And here's the important part. Even though you're trading entire portfolios, the system still figures out the prices of each individual asset. So you don't have to find someone who wants to buy the exact same basket of stuff you're selling. The market takes care of all that matching.
That's incredible. It's like having, I don't know, a personal shopper for your entire investment portfolio.
That's a great way to put it. They take your order and find the best deals on everything. Makes things a lot simpler, right?
Definitely. Okay, so I have to admit, this flow trading thing sounds pretty good so far, but it can't all be about fairness, right? I mean, what are the other, you know, the tangible benefits? Would it actually make a difference in my portfolio?
Well, fairness is definitely a big part of it, but the benefits go way beyond that. The research argues that flow trading could actually make markets more liquid. That means it's easier to buy and sell without causing these huge price swings. And because prices adjust more smoothly, they're more likely to reflect the true value of your investments.
So no more of those heart-stopping drops or spikes in prices.
Ideally, yeah. Less of a roller coaster ride for your portfolio.
That's definitely appealing. Sign me up.
And think about the cost savings, not just for you, but for those big institutional investors like pension funds and hedge funds. They spend a fortune on technology just to try and stay ahead in this crazy speed game. Flow trading could level the playing field, which could potentially save everyone a ton of money.
Makes sense. If we're all playing by the same rules and speed doesn't matter as much, those expensive algorithms become less important.
Exactly. And the savings could trickle down to you. Lower fees, better returns, you know it.
Okay, so flow trading sounds fantastic on paper, I'll give you that. But is it actually doable in the real world? Or is this just a, you know, a theoretical fantasy?
That's the exciting part. This research isn't just describing the concept. It actually gets into the nitty-gritty, the technical details, and provides the mathematical proof that it's feasible.
So they're not just saying, hey, trust us, this will work. They've actually, you know, tested it out.
Yeah, they've run computer simulations to show how it would work in a real market setting. And guess what?
Right.
Their simulations show that this flow trading system can handle a market with hundreds of assets and tens of thousands of orders, and it can still calculate prices and match trades all in less than a second.
Seriously, that's amazing. It sounds like the technology is definitely there.
It is. And the best part, the system is designed to scale up. So even if everyone starts using it, it can handle the increased volume.
That's a relief. So even if this thing takes off, it won't, you know, crash and burn under the pressure.
Yeah. Nope. It's built to be robust and adaptable, but oh, this is still all pretty high-level stuff. Let's bring it back down to earth, to you and your investment.
Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, as you said. What does flow trading really mean for the average investor?
Well, close your eyes and imagine a world where investing is, I don't know, less intimidating, more accessible for everyone, where you can actually trust that you're getting a fair shake, whether you're a Wall Street pro or just starting out. That's the promise of flow trading.
It sounds like it could really level the playing field.
That's exactly it. It's all about making the system work for everyone, not just a select few.
And that whole increased transparency thing, being able to see how prices are actually determined and knowing, you know, that you're not being taken advantage of, that could really boost trust in the market, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Trust is essential for a healthy market. When people trust the system, they're more likely to participate. And that means more capital flowing into businesses, which can lead to innovation and economic growth. Benefits everyone.
So it's bigger than just, you know, tweaking some rules here and there. It's a whole new vision for a more inclusive and trustworthy financial system.
You got it.
I could definitely get behind that. But we're only scratching the surface here, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that flow trading could go way beyond just the stock market.
That's right. The researchers actually highlight a pretty fascinating example in the energy sector, specifically how these principles could be used to make the energy market more efficient and stable. Pretty cool stuff, really.
In that case, we definitely need to dig into that a bit deeper, but let's save that for the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good to me.
For now, we'll leave you with this thought. If we could completely redesign the financial system, you know, from scratch, would we stick with what we have now, or is there a better way? Something to think about. Oh, and don't forget, you can find a link to the full research paper in the show notes.
Dive in, folks. It's worth the read.
All right, so we just spent some time, you know, wrapping our heads around how this whole flow trading thing could really shake things up in the stock market. But you mentioned that it could have, like, implications for energy markets too, right?
It does. It really does.
And it just seems like a whole different ballgame to me.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world. But the paper does touch on a really fascinating idea, applying these flow trading principles to something called a forward energy market.
A forward energy market. Okay, I'm already lost.
It's basically a system that's designed to, well, stabilize the energy grid, make things run smoother for everyone from, you know, the energy producers to, well, consumers like you and me.
Okay, hold on. Back up for a second. When I think about energy markets, I think about prices, you know, going up and down all the time, especially during those like peak hours or when there are, I don't know, supply issues. How could something like flow trading even help with that?
It all comes down to creating a system that encourages more long-term planning and less, you know, of that last-minute scrambling we see now. Imagine if, instead of buying energy in real time, people could lock in prices for future delivery.
So like a long-term contract for energy.
Exactly. Like you agree on a price today for the energy you'll use, I don't know, months or even years down the road.
So it's kind of like, what, pre-ordering my energy?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see how that might help with planning and stuff.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be, I mean, super complicated to manage. What if like demand suddenly spikes, you know, like during a heat wave or something?
Right. And that's where the design gets really smart. This forward market wouldn't be completely, you know, set in stone. It would actually allow for some adjustments closer to the delivery day, just to account for those unexpected swings in demand. Like, let's say a heat wave is coming, the price for near-term energy delivery would go up, and that would signal that we need more supply.
So it's like surge pricing, but for energy.
You got it.
Okay, that makes sense. But I'm just thinking about all the different, I don't know, all the moving parts in the energy market, right? You have your power plants, solar farms, wind farms, all these different types of consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How would you even begin to organize something like
that? Well, that's where those flow trading principles come in again. Remember those batch auctions we talked about?
In part one.
Yeah. It could be used here too.
Okay. So instead of like constant trading back and forth, you'd have these periodic auctions, right? Where everyone submits their bids, but for, I don't know, future energy deliveries.
That's it.
Hourly, daily, even monthly.
Exactly. And this would allow for a much more organized and, well, transparent way to match supply and demand across all those different timeframes. It helps avoid those situations where, you know, prices are going crazy and no one really knows what's going on.
I can definitely see how that would be less stressful for everyone involved.
Right.
But what about those times when there's simply not enough energy to go around? You know,
yeah.
Then?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the researchers actually address this head-on. They emphasize that a forward energy market wouldn't completely eliminate the risk of shortages, but it could make them a lot less likely.
So it's like a stronger safety net.
Exactly. You're getting it. By encouraging this long-term planning and incentivizing investment in new energy sources, the whole system would be much more resilient.
Makes sense. But even with the best laid plans, you know, things happen. What if there's, I don't know, an unexpected outage at a power plant or demand spikes way beyond what anyone predicted?
Well, in those cases, the market would rely on what's called a robust price signal.
Robust. So like the price would go way up during those shortage events. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically. And that would do two really important things.
Okay, I'm listening.
First, it would encourage conservation. If energy is more expensive, people will, you know, naturally cut back. And second, it would encourage producers to bring more energy online as quickly as possible to meet that demand.
So it's kind of like using market forces to solve a supply crunch.
Mm.
Instead of relying on like rolling blackouts or something drastic, the price itself acts as a signal to get things back in balance.
You nailed it. That's a great way to think about it. And because most participants in this forward market would have already locked in their prices, you know, in advance, they'd be kind of protected from those temporary price spikes.
So the impact on, you know, regular people like us wouldn't be as bad as it is now.
Exactly. Much less dramatic.
Oh, okay. I'm starting to see the big picture here.
Yeah.
It's about using, you know, the power of the market to create an energy grid that's more stable and resilient. But, you know, we were talking about transparency before, how flow trading could make the stock market more transparent. Does that apply here too?
Absolutely. In fact, transparency is one of the biggest selling points of this whole idea. Applying flow trading to energy markets. Yeah, because in the system we have now, it can be really hard to understand how those energy prices are actually set. There's not a lot of clarity about, you know, who's making money, how decisions are being made. It can feel like a total black box.
Well, tell me about it. I feel that way every time I try to understand my energy bill.
Right. But with this flow trading approach, everything would be out in the open. You'd be able to see the orders, the prices, the transactions, all of it.
So no more hidden fees, no more of those, you know, mysterious price fluctuations?
In theory, no. It would create a much more level playing field for everyone, really. From the smallest energy consumer to those big energy companies. And all that transparency, well, it could help prevent market manipulation. If everyone can see what's happening, it's much harder for a few big players to, I don't know, rig the system in their favor.
That's a huge advantage. It sounds like this would really benefit, you know, everyday people like us.
It would.
But what about the people who actually produce the energy? Would they be on board with this kind of change?
Well, the research suggests that this forward energy market could actually be really attractive to energy producers, especially the ones who, you know, are investing in those renewable energy sources, like, you know, solar and wind.
Okay, I'm curious. Why would they like it?
Well, think about it. One of the biggest challenges for renewable energy right now is that it can be, well, unpredictable. the sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow, right? So it's harder to guarantee that, you know, steady stream of energy when you're relying on those sources. But in a forward market, those producers could actually lock in prices for their energy months or even years in advance, even if that energy isn't being generated at this exact moment.
I see. So it's like they're getting a more stable and predictable income.
Exactly. And that makes it way easier for them to get funding for new projects and to compete with those, you know, traditional fossil fuel plants. It's good for the environment and good for the economy.
Sounds like this forward energy market could be like the missing link to a more sustainable future.
It could be. It really could. And the people behind this research, they're not just, you know, talking about it. They've actually built a prototype platform to show how it could work in the real world.
No way. Yeah. So it's not just some, you know, pie in the sky idea. They're actually building this thing.
They are. They're building it. And they've made it open source so anyone can access it, modify it. It's all about collaboration and innovation.
Remove. That takes it out of the ivory tower and puts it into the hands of the people who can actually make it happen.
Exactly. And they're not suggesting we just, you know, flip a switch and change everything overnight. They're proposing a more gradual rollout. You know, maybe start with a smaller pilot program, maybe focus on a specific region or a specific type of energy.
Okay, that makes sense. Test it out, work out the kinks, show people that it actually works. It's like, you know, dipping your toes in the water before you jump in the deep.
Exactly. And as people gain experience and confidence, the system can gradually expand.
Much more realistic, right? Definitely. But even with all this, you know, all this promise, I have to ask, are there any, I don't know, downsides, challenges that we need to think about?
Of course. I mean, like any big change, this transition to a forward energy market would come with its fair share of, you know, complexities. One of the biggest challenges would be getting everyone on the same page. Producers, grid operators, regulators, consumers. Getting everyone to agree and coordinate. That's not going to be easy.
Yeah, sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It wouldn't be a walk in the park, that's for sure. And then there's the whole question of fairness. The market would have to be designed in a way that's, you know, fair for everyone, especially those smaller players who might not have the same resources as those big energy companies.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've seen how, you know, good intentions can sometimes have unintended consequences. We need to be careful about that.
Absolutely. And of course, there will always be those, you know, technical challenges. You need a platform that's robust and secure, something that can handle all those transactions and, you know, ensure that the market is operating with integrity.
So it's not just about the idea, it's about the execution.
Exactly. But, you know, even with all these challenges, the potential benefits are just, well, enormous. A forward energy market based on these flow trading principles, it could really change the game.
It's a pretty bold vision for the future of energy, that's for sure. More efficient, more transparent, more resilient.
And better equipped to handle, you know, all the complexities of the world we live in.
And remember, this is just one example of how flow trading could branch out beyond the stock market. The researchers even talk about how it could be used to assess something called the capacity value of different energy sources.
Oh, yeah.
Capacity value. I'm not sure I'm familiar with that term.
So think of it as, I don't know, a measure of how reliable a power plant is, like how likely it is to actually deliver energy when we need it most.
So a nuclear power plant, which can run 24/7, that would have a much higher capacity value than, say, a solar farm, which obviously can only generate power when the sun is shining.
Exactly. You got it. It's about, you know, figuring out how much we can actually count on different energy sources when things get tough. And in this forward market, that capacity value would actually determine how much a power plant could sell their energy for.
Interesting. So a more reliable plant would be worth more.
Exactly. And that gives plant operators a big incentive to, you know, keep their plants running smoothly, invest in upgrades, make sure they can deliver when we need them the most.
Oh, this is fascinating. We've gone from revolutionizing stock markets to rethinking how we buy and sell energy. Where do we even go from here?
Well, we've talked about how flow trading could bring transparency to financial markets and stability to energy markets. But there's one more piece of the puzzle we need to talk about: risk management.
Risk management? Okay, I'm intrigued. How does that fit into all of this?
Well, that's what we'll unpack in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We talked about flow trading, shaking up the stock market, creating this more stable energy market. And now you're bringing up risk management. So how does that all tie in?
Well, risk is, it's kind of a fact of life, right? in any market, really, whether you're buying stocks, trading energy, even just, you know, deciding where to put your savings, there's always going to be some level of uncertainty.
True. But I thought the whole point of these new systems was to reduce risk. We have.
But it's really important to understand how risk is actually managed within these flow trading systems themselves. It's not just about, you know, protecting you and me, you know, individual investors. It's about making sure the whole market, you know, stays stable, stays reliable.
Okay, I'm all ears. Walk me through it. How does flow trading actually handle risk?
Well, one of the key mechanisms is collateral.
Yeah. Like when you put down a security deposit, you know, when you rent an apartment.
That's the idea. So in these flow trading markets, everyone who's participating, they'd have to provide some collateral to back up their trades. It's like an insurance policy. It makes sure that they can actually, you know, fulfill their end of the bargain, even if things go south.
So the riskier my trades are, the more collateral I'd have to put up. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's the basic principle. The amount of collateral, you know, it would be based on how risky your position is. So someone who's, you know, taking a big gamble, maybe they have a really imbalanced portfolio, they'd have to put up more collateral than someone who's playing it safe.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like a built-in safety net for the whole market.
Exactly.
But what about the people who are actually running these markets? You know, whether it's a stock exchange or a grid operator, they're taking on a lot of responsibility here, right? How do they manage their own risk?
Well, that's where those collateral requirements come in. You know, they really come in handy. They basically protect the market operator from losing money if someone defaults.
Oh, so it protects both sides, the individuals and the market as a whole.
You got it. It creates a much more, much more stable and resilient system.
Got it. This is starting to make a lot more sense. But what about regulators? What role would they play in all this?
That's a great question. And, you know, it brings up one of the most exciting possibilities with this whole flow trading thing.
And what's that?
Well, it could actually lead to a much more proactive approach to regulation.
So instead of regulators always playing catch up, always trying to fix things after they've already gone wrong.
Exactly. You see, with flow trading, because everything is so transparent, regulators would have a much clearer picture of, you know, what's happening in the market and in real time.
So they wouldn't have to try and, you know, decode all these crazy algorithms after the fact. They could actually see what was happening as it was happening.
You got it. Exactly. They could monitor trading patterns, you know, spot potential problems before they blow up.
That would be a game changer. It's like preventing the fire instead of rushing in to put it out after it's already started.
That's a great way to put it. It's about using technology and market design to create a system that's just, I don't know, inherently more aligned with what's good for everyone.
This whole flow trading concept is really, it's mind-blowing. We've gone from talking about fairness in the stock market to, you know, making the energy grid more reliable to even rethinking how we manage risk. It's a lot to process.
It is. But, you know, it's important to remember that this is just the beginning of the conversation. We've barely scratched the surface.
So where do we go from here? I mean, what's next?
Well, the researchers, they've given us, you know, this really compelling vision. They've shown us that these systems, they're not just, you know, some fantasy. They can actually be built. They can actually work.
But it's up to all of us to keep the conversation going, to explore the possibilities, to figure out how we can use these tools to create a better future.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's an invitation to think differently about how we design our markets, how we use our resources, how we manage risk, because the world is changing fast and we need to, you know.
This has been an incredible deep dive. Seriously, thanks for, you know, walking us through all this. It's complicated stuff, but you always bring it back to, you know, what it means for us, the everyday folks.
Well, that's what it's all about.
And for all our listeners out there, don't forget, you can find a link to that research paper in our show notes. If you really want to get into the weeds, we encourage you to read it, ask questions, share your thoughts. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to come up with the next big, you know, flow trading breakthrough.
The future is full of possibilities.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of flow trading. We'll see you next time.